Greetings and salutations to our fine podcast audience. Welcome to Three Peas in a Pod, episode 280.
We made it.
Nice round number there.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot we had gotten to that one. We're 20 away from 300.
Wow, look at us.
Now, we used to have little parties when we get to some of these milestones.
100.
You know? Yeah. I remember one time, did we eat food or something?
We did. We did.
I had 200, I think.
Was it 200?
I thought it was 100.
No, I think it was 200.
Huh. Well, then we must eat at 300.
I think we said we weren't going to do it again until 500. We made it to 500.
Well, I go back on that.
Charlie seems flabbergasted by that.
Oh, died before this.
Well, I think 200.
That might happen.
I think 200 was only two years
ago. Well, if you're dead, then all of us.
I was going to say the rest of us is gone.
Okay, fine then. But okay, it just hit me as I said 280. It was like, oh, that's.
I don't think we've announced on the podcast Charlie's going to be a dad. We're all happy about it.
We're happy for Charlie.
There you go.
Yeah.
Congrats, Charlie.
Thanks.
A little Davenport on the way.
That's right. That's what we need. Another little Davenport. We just could use another one. So today's question comes to us about baptism.
Oh, fun.
One of the great sacraments of the Christian religion.
That's true.
Thank you, Jason.
Very good.
I like to say that.
I know you sounded very scholarly or something right
there. Well, that's all I can get. I can sound scholarly, but that's as far as it goes. Question says this. I was baptized, dedicated, or christened as a child.
Pick one.
I think they're kind of saying they're all the same.
Oh, okay.
They're saying that's what it really was.
I was just thinking, they can't answer because they weren't really
because they were a child.
They just were told.
You got to tell me which one.
Okay, so all that happened. I have been following Jesus now for a long time, and I've been wondering if I should be baptized by my choice. And then they just end with this statement. Tell me more about baptism. Well, we would be happy to.
This might be a good one for us to start at the end as Ed likes to. Maybe we should start with what baptism
what
is.
What is baptism?
Are you looking to me?
No,
go ahead and start. You like to start at the end.
We're going
to
start at the end and we're going to talk about baptism.
Because I think in order to get to the answer to her question, or at least, you know, the way that we practice it
here. I'll start this way by asking Jason to tell everybody what a sacrament is, because it is a sacrament. Okay. So you have a definition.
And then
clearly.
Jason's going to ask me what is. And then
we'll work our way back around.
We'll work our way back around.
I don't know if this is the textbook definition, but my buddy Brian Zahn says it my favorite way. And he always says it this way. He says, sacraments are the physical means by which we encounter heavenly realities.
I think that's good. That's a good. Really good
I like
one.
That.
It's my
whether
favorite.
Whether that's the textbook
yeah.
when
yeah.
we,
it's my
and
favorite
we would have
definition.
Passed when we were in school or not, yeah. I can't remember for sure.
Yeah.
But that's what I was going to get at. So what he said, it is a literal thing. It's a physical thing that we do through which we encounter a spiritual reality. And the spiritual reality we're encountering in baptism is it is putting on Christ. That's what that's what the Bible describes it as. You know, in Romans 6 talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Many of us are baptized in Christ, put on Christ. You know, we're buried with Christ. We rise to walk anew.
It's also a washing
away. It's a washing away. That's exactly right. So that's what technically baptism is. It's this symbol. I don't want to. Some people
I hate that
really.
Word.
I know people don't like that.
I hate that word
because they think it minimizes something.
Yeah.
It's a physical thing that God asks that we do. I think for the tangible reason that it helps us in a number of ways. Something literally does happen at it. I believe. The Bible describes. I think that's true, but it becomes something that we can hold on to as a way to remember that God is actually interacting with our lives in this thing that we participated in with Him.
Yeah. And it matters in that vein because we know we see examples in the book of Acts when, you know, the apostles will encounter believers and say, now, which baptism have you had? And some of them would say, well, we were baptized into John's baptism. And he goes, no, you need this one.
Right.
Because there was something about being baptized in the name of Jesus that he felt was important enough to do.
Yeah.
That they had not experienced. You know, because if baptism is just a symbol or just water, to use that phrase, then he would have just said, it's okay. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, because it's obvious now you're following Jesus and it doesn't really matter.
So
in that particular instance, it was really important that they do it.
But I also don't want to go so far extreme to say there's magic in this water that's a little too far. But sitting in that space of it matters. Something happens. It's a mystery.
God meets us in the
moment. He meets us there.
Yeah. He meets us in the moment. The other sacraments, communion. God meets us in that sacrament.
That's right.
There are other sacraments we could talk about, but anyway, those are the two big ones that almost every Christian denomination talks about, from Catholics all the way to the lowest level of Protestant. Talk about those two.
Yes.
And so the importance of it is one, it's commanded that we participate in it. If I'm going to be a follower of Christ, I participate in this thing. Mm-hmm. It's pretty evident in the book of Acts that everybody who follows Jesus does it. Mm-hmm. So we have an example of them doing it. Mm-hmm. It gives us symbolic reasons of what takes place when we do it. It's talked about in different places. Peter compares it to the ark by which people were saved from the flood. Mm-hmm.
The Israelites passing through the Red Sea.
That's right.
Also another image used to talk about that.
So that's what baptism is.
That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So having laid that as the foundation, I guess we get into the specific of this person who says, baptism was done to me as a child. Mm-hmm. And they're wondering how important it would be for them to do it now as, I'm assuming, either as a younger or a young adult or an adult after having been baptized or christened as a child. So
we at Community Christian, we practice what's called believer's baptism, which means when you are old enough to understand, certainly at a bare minimum, what baptism is, as we just said.
Who Jesus is.
Jesus is, that you would then have the desire to live your life in his authority, under his authority, in Christ, as the New Testament would say, that I want to live life with God, that I want to be freed of my sins, forgiven of my sins. I want new life with Jesus. When I get to a place where that's what I want to follow Jesus, I want to do life with him, then the step would be to enter into Christ, as we said, to put on Christ, to be buried underwater as he was buried. Then you're in that, you are putting to death your old life and you are raising to new life in Christ in the waters of baptism. And all the same, illustrations you used of, passing through the Red Sea, of being set free from sin, right? As the Israelites were in slavery and when they went out, there was an exodus that happened and they entered into a new covenant with God on the other side of that, or certainly being saved, right, from the consequences of sin, all those different kinds of things. When I am ready for that to happen, that's what I do. I enter into Christ at that point. And so for us, what we would say is, if you have only experienced, or one, if you've never experienced baptism, or if you've only experienced baptism at a point in your life where it was not your choice, you were an infant, right, or you were so young, you didn't understand the decision you were making, and not fully like, now I understand new things about God I did.
Yeah.
If you did not understand, I'm doing this to follow Jesus, if that was not your choice, then yes, if that is your desire now, and it says, I think from the question, I've been following Jesus for a while. So that's been your desire for some time, certainly. Then yes, I think baptism would be the step for you.
And I think this is more of a pastoral answer to your question. I would say if I'm understanding you correctly and you're saying I'm being drawn to this, or I'm having questions about this, or I'm wondering about this, I would pay attention to that longing inside. I would firmly believe that that's the Holy Spirit guiding you towards maybe taking this as your next step. And the fact that it is causing questions, and I don't think you said this, but if it's giving you any kind of uncertainty or not being safe and secure feeling within your faith or your walk with God, then why not? Why would you hold back? We certainly, because I've had this conversation with people before, sometimes there comes up the issue of, well, I don't want my parents who were so faithful to want this for me and had me christened or baptized mm-hmm. as a mm-hmm. child, I don't want them to think that I think that was bogus or no good.
No, and I'm rejecting it.
Rejecting yeah. the faith of my parents. I actually think it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. I think it is now a culmination of what your parents hoped for all along, is they wanted so much for you to know and love Jesus and follow in his way. And now you are. And so you coming forward and saying, I want to participate in this step of taking, of identifying my life with the death, burial, and resurrection, coming forth with new life, and standing in front of witnesses and having that celebrated, I think your parents would be overjoyed to, I hope they would. Mm-hmm. And they would not see that as a rejection of what they did, but a fulfillment of what has now come about in your life. And so I think it would be a great thing for you, for everybody in your life, to take that step. Mm-hmm. But again, the ultimate choice comes down to what you think you should do. Mm-hmm. I don't think this is a heaven hell issue. Mm-hmm. So I want to put that to rest, because I don't think that's a very healthy motivation for this. I better get wet, or Jesus won't let me into heaven. Right. You know, those kinds of questions I think are not helpful.
I think this is that kind of thing you ought to talk to God about.
You do, yeah.
And you know, I think Peter's the one that says it's baptism is the answer of a good conscience before mm-hmm. God.
Yeah.
And I do think there comes a point where it's like all kinds of other things that you read and you wonder, should I do this? Do I have to do it? Mm-hmm. Well, have to is not the right kind of mm-hmm. way yeah. to look at it.
Yeah.
But you should wonder. You should wonder if it's commanded and I haven't done it and there's a halt in my spirit to not do it.
That's right.
That's a bigger question to answer. Why is there a halt that I wouldn't do it? Mm-hmm. That if God asked me to do yes. it, why wouldn't I do it? And I get the whole thing about parents and heritage mm-hmm. and all of those things. But I think Jason's talked about that pretty well already, of that I would think your parents would be happy mm-hmm. about it. But in the end, you do have to make your own choice. You have to.
That's right.
That's what it comes down to. I mean, one of my sons has been baptized twice. He was baptized and then he came to us a few years. He was still living in our house later and just said, I feel like when I got baptized the first time, even though he was old enough to decide, he said, I think I did it because I had friends that were getting baptized and I just didn't want to be left behind. Mm-hmm. He said, but now I know I want to do this because it's what I want my life to be about. Well, mm-hmm. that's a much better reason.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like he learned more or knew more. Mm-hmm. He just really felt like maybe his conscience wasn't clean yes. about the first time. That's mm-hmm. the way I remember talking with him about it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I would say to you. If there's any kind of hitch in your spirit mm-hmm. about you see people baptized, I don't know if you attend Community Christian or someplace you attend, and gosh, I don't even know if you're talking about immersion here because I don't know that. Mm-hmm. We, of course, baptized by immersion. We believe that best symbolizes the way that is described in the Bible. But if there's a hitch in your spirit as an adult of why you wouldn't do it the way the church you attend is asking you to do it, mm-hmm. you probably ought to ask why that's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you bring up a good point. If you are asking this question from another faith context or another church, I would have this conversation with your pastor, your leader. Mm-hmm. And if you're here with us and that's us, absolutely, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
And we can get into some of those nuances and things that you're maybe wrestling with in your spirit that maybe we can help you pastorally work through some of that stuff and make a really healthy decision on your end. So
yeah. Yeah, I would say in regards to all of that, as well as especially if you're at Community Christian, and this is something you're trying to get to a place of trying to figure out, you know, you're wrestling through, you know, this happened to me as a child, and as we've said, there's almost sometimes a feeling in some places of this is a have to, and if I don't do this, what mm-hmm. what might happen? I think there is a danger with that kind of thought process behind it on both ends, on the mm-hmm. on those who kind of push it that way of kind of you got to do this or this can't happen or this get X, Y, Z. Is it kind of turns baptism into a transactional thing of I've got to do this in order to get the ticket to heaven, or I got to do this, or God won't do this for me, or I can't have this kind of life. Baptism, in general, has never been seen by Christians throughout history as a have to. It was a get to. In fact, in the early days of Christianity, because we can see in texts like the Didache, which is the teaching of the, it was the practice of the early church after the scriptures had been written in the first, I'd say second 100 years, there was often a 2-year process of you had to really go through this learning process of, is this something you really want? And people would see this as this celebratory thing of, oh, now I really am. Because I'm not just becoming one with God, which you are. As we've said, there is something actually that happens, you know, whether it's the water, you know, literally doing it. There is some spirit descending moment that is actually happening, that I am now in Christ, but I'm also with brothers and sisters. We've now become family. There's this adoption process that takes place. And so, what I would try to see it as, if I were in your position, as we've said, if you're already feeling prompted to do it, and you've come to this understanding of baptism as we say it, as this believer's baptism, this should be my choice. When I get to a place where I'm at that, I would try not to sit around and go, well, what happens if I don't do it? Because that turns into this kind of like pro-con list and this very, I want to make sure I'm avoiding bad things and getting good things. I would see it as, if I really do feel convinced that this is what God calls people to do when they make a decision to follow Jesus, then I would see it as an act of love to Him. It's a way to say, I'm all in for what you want for me, and I'm all in for these brothers and sisters that I want to belong to. And it really is, you know, we've used the example for almost like a marriage ceremony. I think if I would say, you know, had said to my wife at the time, I want to marry you, but I don't want anyone to know it. And we've been together already so long. Why do we need a ring to make this happen? You know, my wife and I have been together 5 years when we got married. Why do we got to go through a ceremony to make this? You know how I feel. I know how I feel. Once again, does that mean that I don't love her and that she doesn't love me? And maybe would she have stayed in a relationship? I don't know. But it also says something about my heart towards her that I know there's something she desires for us to do.
If she had said to you, I want you to do this.
That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. This means something to me.
Which is what we believe the Spirit has said in the Scripture.
Yes.
That is something God wants.
Yes.
And then to say, well, they just said it's not a heaven or hell thing.
Right. It's not a have to.
I don't want to put a have to on it. Mm-hmm. So, okay, but you know, it is something that the one you say you love asked.
And the danger of it is, and I've said this to people about other issues, is any individual thing that God commands us to do, we can get to have to's on them. But if I turn everything God asked me to do into a have to, and my answer is no frequently enough, it's not that this particular baptism issue is a me and God, heaven and hell issue. My heart eventually starts to get hardened. If I'm feeling convicted, as Jason already said, if you're feeling this in your conscience that God's calling you to do it, if I keep saying no about anything where I feel very convicted that the Spirit wants me to do this, eventually that starts to shut off of this one area of my life. And then it's a little easier to shut off this area of my life and this area of my life. And so I would really encourage you, as all of us said, we're now repeating ourselves. Our encouragement, I think, would be, probably. That sounds like that's where you're at. You feel called to do it.
For sure.
From the situation you've said, all of us would say, you would be a candidate for baptism. That would be my encouragement. But I don't know if I'm your pastor or not. I may just be some guy on the internet.
Even if you lower the command, it's not lowering, it's actually a raising. If you summarize all the commands of God to love God and love people, loving God means I do what's best for God.
Mm.
And Jesus then goes and says, the way you love me is you do what I ask.
Mm.
You know, so if I just want to say all I'm about is loving God and loving people, well, Jesus says, I mean, that's a clear statement in Scripture. He says, this is how you love me. Do what I say.
Do what I tell you. Yeah. Yeah. Which goes back to what we said last week. It's all about the trust thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
You just trust him.
That's good.
So, all right. So next week, we are going to answer questions about stuff that I find people have lots of questions about. They want to talk us to talk about heaven and hell.
Well, here we go.
So we're going to talk about that. And
that's a broad subject.
It is a broad subject.
I think the question's more specific.
It is more specific about what is it like and what's really there and is it, can we know for sure? So we'll find that out next week. So that'll keep you coming back, maybe. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
Have a great week. See you next time.